Hey, can I talk to you? Over 25 years ago, on September 29th, 1998, we watched a brainy girl with curly hair drop everything to follow a guy she only kind of knew all the way to college. And so began Felicity. My name is Juliette Littman, and I'm a Felicity superfan. Join me, Amanda Foreman, who you may know better as Megan, the roommate, and Greg Grunberg, who you may also know as Sean Blunberg, as the three of us revisit our favorite moments from the show and talk to the people who helped shape it. Listen now to Dear Felicity on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Cars.com. When you add your car to your garage on Cars.com, you'll unlock access to real-time insights into how much your car is worth. Plus, view its historical and projected value to decide when to sell. So when the time is right, you can secure an instant offer from a local dealership or sell it yourself on Cars.com. Start tracking your car's value with your garage on Cars.com.
There's no better feeling than a personal win. And the State Farm Personal Price Plan can help you do just that. Talk to a State Farm agent today to learn how you can bundle and save with the Personal Price Plan. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Prices are based on rating plans that vary by state. Coverage options are selected by the customer. Availability, amount of discounts and savings, and eligibility vary by state.
Welcome to Food News. I'm Juliette Littman.
And I'm David Jacoby.
Let's put 30 minutes on the clock.
30 minutes.
Remind you, if you'd like to be a part of this podcast, give us a call at 646-STEW-138. All right, let's get into today's stories. We're beginning with a big change.
Big story.
Coming to Open Table, which I gotta say, I feel like Open Table, this is really needed for a lot of reasons. Open Table will now show your first name and your profile photo if you leave a review on their platform. So it's no longer anonymous. And they sent out an email to people who have left reviews in the past, letting them know this change was coming and giving them the option to edit their reviews before the changes go into effect at the end of May.
So when I first read this, I was like, this makes perfect sense. There should be some accountability here because I can't just be like at the rival restaurant across the street, just leaving review after review after review. It seems like you could spam someone's stars that way. But the part that I really want to talk to you about is the retroactive changing of everything you've previously said on this app.
Yes.
Because when you said what you said before, you said it anonymously, which is going to change the way you say things.
Of course.
And then to ask someone, maybe someone's like a super reviewer, has hundreds of reviews up there, to be like, here's how you can go back and read everything you've ever said on the internet and then change it or edit it or delete it. That's a pretty tall task.
Well, I have to hope that most people who leave a review are not like leaving hundreds of them. And they're probably not, because I think you either leave a review if you have like a superlatively wonderful experience or supremely bad.
Oh, see, I think some people are just reviewers.
Sure, like people are like Yelpers or whatever. But I feel like those people probably are more measured and have less that they need to like change.
That's a good point.
Versus like that's just like part of their process of eating out is like I do it and then I leave a review. But someone who's an asshole who leaves a really shitty review, and it's like giving like, you know, less than 5 stars to an Uber driver. It's like, are you sure? You're going to like really fuck up their score for a long time. It's like, are you sure about that? And this is basically saying to all these people, you sure about that shitty review you left?
I like it. I love it.
I did,
like some people got this email and then also had a link to like the terms and conditions. It's like, I mean, come on. No one's ever read any terms and conditions. Like that's not a hot take.
Of course
but
not.
It's also like, some people really had a morning that morning when they got that email. They're like, what do I do about this?
I really love it. I also love how Open Table is going about it. That's my favorite thing about this. And I would say, like, I would have, of the three popular reservation platforms, Resy, Seven Rooms, and Open Table, Open Table has sort of like the least like flair to me, does the least for me. It's the one that I check last when I'm looking for like a dinner reservation.
Resy first, right?
Resy first,
yeah.
Especially if you have an Amex card, you get special access, whatever. I was sort of like out on Open Table, but I'm so back in. I love how they're approaching this. It's very humane. It is fair to both the assholes who are leaving bad reviews and want to rethink it, and also their clients, the restaurants,
yes,
who like need to have a better way of this.
Like, this is going to be make the Open Table environment a better environment.
Definitely.
And it's also, I also like, just because I love the pettiness and like drama of it all, I like the idea that some people are going to get exposed. Be like, oh, hey, Tony, who owns the other Italian restaurant down the street, left 14 bad reviews at Sal's restaurant.
That's a great point.
You know
I
what I mean?
About that.
Like,
yeah.
It's like some people aren't going to go back and edit and delete, and they're going to get exposed for sort of trying to spam their friends' restaurants.
Listen, if you work at if you work at Open Table and you have an inside tip of people who are going to get exposed, like, you know, maybe enemies in the same industry,
yes,
or on the same block, please,
yes,
give us a call at 646-STU-138. We don't need any identifying details. Don't even leave your name. We just want to hear these stories.
Yes,
because
they're going to happen.
We can't wait.
They're going to happen.
I'm really excited, and I look forward to using Open Table for my next reservation because I just love how they're going about this. All right, other things that we can support in the restaurant world.
I like this next story even more than the Open Table update.
If you're going to Verona in, mm-hmm, Italy, which, you know, has special meaning to me with the name Juliet, since Romeo and Juliet takes place in Verona. I haven't been. And
I reread Romeo and Juliet like 10 years ago.
Good.
Great book.
You know who's good?
Shakespeare. Guy can write.
Good stuff.
Bars. Absolute bars.
Really good.
Yes.
Anyway, if you're going to be there, go to Al Condominio.
We have a restaurant rec for you.
Yeah.
Something Juliet hates to do.
And no food related. It's just the entire environment, because they are willing to give you a bottle of wine if, what's the big if, Jacoby?
If you give up your phone. Angelo Lella, I believe his name is, mm-hmm, is pronounced. He is the proprietor. And here's what he said. He said, quote, "We wanted to open a restaurant that was different from the others. So we picked this format. Customers can choose to renounce technology while enjoying a convivial moment together. Technology is becoming a problem. There's no need to look at your phone every 5 seconds. But for many people, it's like a drug. The way they have an opportunity to put aside and drink some good wine." I love Angelo, and I love Al Condominio.
I love it too. I mean, I was thinking about like the times in which I put my phone away. The most recent example for me is I went to a Gerard Carmichael show, and you know, it's like a lot of comedy shows, they make you put your phone away so it doesn't go online. And I had a great time. I was locked in. I really remember it. I was like reading some like of his press from his recent press tour. And I'm like, yeah, I was really paying attention to his show because I was not on my phone. It was great.
I was thinking that was the same thing I did. It's just like anything else. It's like, all right, so this one restaurant in Verona is doing this. Where else can we apply this?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? If you're having a dinner party at your house, you could just politely have a box being like, this is the phone box. You can use it if you need to.
Totally.
But you're going to keep your phone in this box. You know what I mean? Like, restaurants are obviously a good one. Shows are a good one. Like this, I think this should be something that's accepted by society more. And I hate to say it, but we kind of need to up the technology of taking away the technology as well.
Well, it's so straightforward when you go to a concert. You just put it in those Yonder bags. Like, it's just like, yeah, it's like putting it in like a little locker. We'll hold it for you. And they just like literally take it away from you. It's great.
That sounds awesome.
I know. And I guess also like everyone's just agreeing to it, so it's safe. I don't know.
Nightclubs would be another cool place for this. Bars.
When's the last time you went to a nightclub at night?
Listen, lady. I went to one recently.
Okay.
You might even hear about it.
Okay.
In an upcoming episode.
So you're still hitting the pavement at
Not
night.
At all. Not at all. Not
I think,
at all.
What tipped me off was when you said nightclub. Like, it's like 1972 and you're just opening up your
Studio
newspaper.
Studio 54. Yeah,
like, have you heard of Studio 54?
Yes. Dance the Night Away.
Great song. All right. See you in Verona, perhaps. Next. If you're near a billboard and it smells like French fries, it's probably because it's a McDonald's billboard, because they have introduced, I think, 200 billboards in the country that now are like billboards with a scent.
They're in Netherlands.
Oh, and then, I thought they were in the U.S.
No, they're in the Netherlands.
Oh, so
you say the country, you're not wrong. It's a country.
A country.
Yes, in a country.
I was like, where is this?
Yes.
Well, yep. Poor reading comprehension by me.
Yes.
I think this is a really intriguing idea. At first, I was like, this is so stupid. But then as I read about it, I was like, oh, that's actually kind of interesting.
Because there is a very distinct smell of McDonald's French fries.
Yeah.
It's not just like the McDonald's smell. It's distinctly French fries. And I would say that of all the restaurants that could do this, there are a few I could think of. But like McDonald's does have a very distinct fry smell. Now, one of my problems is that they put them near McDonald's because McDonald's itself is kind of a smelly billboard for itself.
Why is that a problem? I think it's genius.
Because maybe you're going to get it naturally anyway.
Oh, but if you're like in your car or something?
You're not going to smell the billboard if you're in your car.
I'd like to try that out. I will say the other thing I thought was interesting that the billboards are otherwise blank. Like there's no billboard on it, just white.
Oh.
So it's just sort of
it's
like.
It's just scent.
It's a scent, yeah.
I would change that. Maybe a little copy would help. Like smell good, ? McDonald's arrow. You know what I mean?
Well, they're just trying to, you know, somehow make it clear to you that you are in the mood for McDonald's.
They're really confident about the distinctive smell of McDonald's fries. Because they're not even putting branding on the scent.
I recently went to a mentalist show, which was awesome. It's called Stalker. Yeah.
Really?
It's on 50th Street. You guys should check it out. It's two Swedish guys.
You're really going to stuff, huh? Gerard Carmichael, mentalist show.
I like love going to stuff. It's part of the joy of living in New York.
It is.
They are like always using cues to like get you to do stuff in mentalist shows. That's how they do it. And that made me think of this. I was like, okay, so McDonald's is participating in mentalism. Interesting.
What was the coolest thing they did?
Oh my God. They did so many crazy, crazy
just
things.
Just give me one.
I don't even know how they did
quick
it.
Quick side story for food news.
They bent two spoons, okay. Like using their minds. And I'm like, it's like they're a magnet in his watch. Like how the fuck did they do that? Then they did some really cool magic card tricks. I just like have no idea how it was possible. My friend Ashley tried to get me involved in this. Like she was like, you should volunteer. If you wanted to, you could walk in, like take a picture and then you would maybe end up in the show. And, I was like, no, I don't want to be in the show. And then she like really wanted me to. And then she ended up in the show.
Yes.
I loved it.
I
really recommend it. I love a mentalist show. I'd seen one before, Darren Brown. And this did not disappoint. Also, this was a really fun, like small environment. I loved it. Stalker. Check it out.
All right.
Let's move on. More restaurant news. Very restaurant heavy week.
20
minutes. Paris will be the home of the Olympics this summer. And in the meantime, the wait staff of the city is competing against each other. And I absolutely love the picture that they have. It's just like the most French looking woman possible holding this tray with a croissant and a glass of water as she's like race walking through Paris.
But she's got a smile on her face. Like she's having a good time. And she's also, her body's contorted a little bit. Like she's trying to balance the tray. It's a great photo. It's a really great photo. I'm glad you brought that up.
It's a really good one. So this is from CNN Travel. And basically last weekend or 2 weekends ago, they had the Course de Café, which was a previously held event they had before. It's 1.2 miles where servers race carrying a tray with coffee or water and a croissant. And
yes.
It's just like, it's a great stunt. I just love it.
It's a great stunt because they all dress so cool and they're all, you know, I mean, like they have a reputation of being like very like stern and formal, we'll say. It seems like they're having a great time. And one thing I love about it is you get docked at the finish line if you spill.
Yeah.
Can't spill, not a drop.
You don't win if you spill.
Yeah, you can't just like spill it all and sprint. You got to keep that water and orange juice together.
I really love it. Also, it's only 200 servers and you have to like qualify to be in it. So it's like really good servers. I'm like, or like maybe someone with a connection, but I just love how elite this is. And
I love it too.
I was in Paris last year and I bought a Paris 2024 sweatshirt. So I've like really been anticipating the Paris Olympics and now everyone's getting on board apparently.
I mean, you're basically Parisian at that point. If you bought a sweatshirt.
I almost wore it today. It's like I knew.
I should have.
I wish
I did. 1.2 miles seems to be like the perfect amount for me. You know what I mean? Because if it was like four miles,
great.
I'd be like, nah, what are we doing? Like it's like 1 mile. It's just like, it's long. It's long enough to get like some crowd participation involved, but it's not too long.
It's 24 blocks. It's a great length.
Yeah, it's about a 20-minute walk.
Yeah.
Perfect.
It really is. I'd like to be there for this. I hope they do it regularly. They brought it back for the Olympics, but they should just do it and make it like a thing.
Yeah. The Ringer should own the rights to inherit.
Oh, that's an interesting idea.
Yeah, we'll do a whole behind-the-scenes documentary like F1 style.
Just put it on our YouTube channel?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, great.
All right.
All right. Next, booze news from Mesopotamia.
Let me read this one.
Okay.
Because there's something I loved about this.
Okay.
Right? They found a beer recipe on a clay tablet that's from either 4,000 or 6,000 years ago in Mesopotamia. Remember, here it is. I'll quote the article here. An ancient recipe discovered etched into a clay tablet is written as a poem to Ninkasi, the goddess of beer. And when I say quote, I'm now quoting the clay tablet from 4,000 years ago. Ninkasi, it is you who handle the dough with the big shovel, mixing in a pit the beer bread with sweet aromatics. It is you who bake the beer bread in the big oven and put order through piles of hurled grain. The poem then reveals that the beer they were drinking was made not only from usual grains, yeast, and water, but also from bread.
It's like a prayer. It's not a poem. It's like praying to the beer god.
5,000 years ago, they had a goddess of beer that they prayed to, and they drank beer. I don't care about the rest of the article. I just love the idea that society literally hasn't changed in 5,000 years. We still are praying to beer.
Well, I will say two things from this article that sounded gross to me. One, as I noted, they didn't have refrigeration for Mesopotamia.
Yes.
So beer was drank warm. And two, it was like really thick.
They called it an alcoholic porridge later in the article. And I was like, ooh,
that's disgusting.
That sounds like what I throw up after drinking
beer. It's like
beer.
Curdled milk.
Yeah, yes.
Literally. It sounds so gross.
So bad. And the positive part I will say is this is like a much better for the environment. It's a much sort of like carbon footprint conscious way of making beer. But I'd like the beer to not be alcoholic porridge.
It sounds so absolutely disgusting.
Yes.
Also, I love that sort of like the idea of this is that this is a recipe. So you could then make your own bread beer. I'm like, I'm definitely not doing that.
It sounds more like saying grace to Ninkasi than like a recipe.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
It just sounds so disgusting. I do find that like a byproduct for me of food news is a lot of archaeology news, which I do enjoy.
Yes.
I love ancient stuff. So that part of it is good for me. I mean, I am going to Pompeii soon. So, you know, I'll be able to report back on the ancient shit there. Maybe there'll be some beer recipes that I can find.
Yeah, see if you can find the goddess that they prayed to before they drank beer.
Yeah, seriously.
Shout out to Ninkasi. I'm going to do some more research.
All right, let's move on. I just have a statement before we get into this, which is I feel like someone decided that this was the year of the private club and like we would have to have articles about it constantly.
Oh, I am on board with this.
And I'm like, I'm not looking for a private club. I'm like not looking for like total privacy when I drink. Maybe that's because I'm not like famous, but most people who are going to private clubs don't need the private club. It's just like, you just want to feel important. And
you do the basic read here and I'm going to come over the top with some takes.
Okay, I would love you to. So there's a new place where you have to pay $20,000 and be cool to be able to drink with celebrities. And it's a $20,000 initiation fee. They're basically bringing this to you. And what's the name of this place?
NYC, New York Vintners.
Vintners, yeah. It's basically like a bunch of wine guys getting together and being like, we are curating a drinking experience for you that will include Danny DeVito, and you give us $20,000, and it'll be a really fun time to drink.
Okay, a couple things. This is the thing that really bothers me about this place, right? Number one, it's a bar, right? It's not a private club. It is a regular bar where anyone can go into. They just have some rooms in the back where like the special people in the club hang out. And they spend this entire article in the New York Post talking about how chill it is and how they're curating really just like-minded people that love wine. It's not about the entry fee. It's not about being able to buy your way in. You have to pass what they call a quote unquote vibe check and able to get in there. And they don't take pictures and they don't do any marketing. It's all word of mouth. All that being said, I'm reading this in an article full of pictures in the New York Post with an interview with the proprietor talking about how they don't do any marketing and they don't take pictures. But the entire article is just pictures of this guy with celebrities.
Also for the celebrities. It's like, why are you agreeing to this?
Why are you blowing up my spot?
And just like have like a quiet night. Just do your own thing. You don't need the New York Vintners.
Well, even if you're really into wine and you want to talk to some people that really know about wine and learn more about wine, you want to go to this place and sit in the back and have a private experience with your friends, which I can totally understand. It's like a superstar celebrity. That's I'm sure a great thing to have. I don't want you to tell the Post about it next week.
Just like Danny DeVito wasn't like, yeah, I'd love to be in the New York Post for this.
Danny DeVito clearly posed for a picture.
I know.
In the article.
I guess he's okay with
it. And I felt bad for him because I feel like the proprietor was like, hey, the New York Post is coming, Danny. It's a professional picture. Like, not
I
with
need
a phone.
Ya.
He's like, I need you to come by Friday at 4. And he's like, why? It's because we're doing an article for the Post about how we don't do articles for the Post.
It's just ridiculous.
And they did so much. They basically, a lot of private clubs and I'm glad you recognize this trend. The trend is now you can't buy your way in, right? The trend is now is like, we're a private club, but like only for cool people, not for rich people.
Right.
And it's just like, cool people don't want to be part of your club.
Seriously, cool people just want to like go to their place.
Yeah,
their
cool
spot.
People are at fucking dive bars. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like really cool people aren't like sipping Chardonnays at 10 o'clock at night in Tribeca.
I completely agree. And also like, actual famous people who like maybe want to go to like Zero Bond or something, they're not just like there to mingle. They're there with like their group. So,
yes, and they don't want to talk to anyone else.
Yeah, because they're like, who the fuck are you? I came to Zero Bond so that you wouldn't fucking talk to me.
Exactly. That was the whole point. The entire point of this experience is not to have this conversation with you right now.
Listen, I just like to be in the park, as public as I get.
There you go. You know? That's your public club.
I really do. I like, and as you know, I don't really drink that much anymore, but I do like a beer in the park at night.
A nice little like a wine spritzer in the park.
Yeah, it's like that'll a lovely great. Experience. It's as that'll public as it gets. Hopes to see you all there as we're all having a nice parallel experience.
Listen, now that the weather's changing, you know, you've been to a park experience with the Jacoby family.
I love it.
Put some food.
Absolutely.
Grab some toys. Put a blanket down. We're good.
I have a personal announcement. It's not a food thing.
This seems like in between every story you've said this.
I think I'm a ferry person now. I used the ferry to commute yesterday.
Welcome to the ferry gang. Do you have the app?
Yeah, of course. But for commuting, not just for like
it's an
leisure.
Extremely inefficient way to commute.
Well, it was great for me yesterday.
The thing is, the times are very consistent. Mm-hmm. So you don't have to worry about that when it comes to like the subway or taxis or whatever. And it's just
So efficient. You said inefficient.
Efficient is what I meant. Whatever. Oh, okay. Opposite. Consistent. And the beauty of the ferry ride does something for the soul.
It was amazing. So I had four minutes on the boat yesterday.
Visually, it's the opposite of a subway experience.
It was great.
It's clean, it's courteous, and
also,
it's beautiful.
Didn't have to interrupt my phone call to get on the ferry.
Boom.
I was doing a work
call. A little loud
on
the ferry, though.
Yeah, it was 4 minutes, though. From Wall Street to the Brooklyn Bridge Park. It was fantastic.
Oh, that's a quick one.
It was wonderful. I was like, no subway, no bridge. Love this. All right, moving on. Thanks just for sharing.
Yeah, no, I'm glad you're a ferry person. This
here,
is great.
Here
great
to tell you.
10 Welcome. Minutes.
All right, Starbucks and its cold war with Cosmic. I'm not sure if anyone else is paying attention to this other than
okay.
us.
Okay, we need an intervention for Juliette Littman right now.
What?
Okay. In your mind, you mentioned this last week, like everyone's trying to compete with Cosmics. There are two Cosmics in the world.
I think Cosmics.
There's two of them in the world, okay? No one's trying to compete with Cosmics. There's one in Indiana, there's one in Texas.
Don't you think Cosmics trying to compete with Starbucks?
But it's a pilot program.
But don't,
it's not a thing. It doesn't exist.
That's not a no. Don't you think they're trying to get into this market that's dominated by Starbucks for like the sugary drinks at 2 o'clock?
Okay. Yes, but is Velveeta trying to get in the hair dye market?
No.
Yes.
No.
Yes, they are. They put out some hair dye.
That's pure marketing.
Velveeta is as invested in hair dye as McDonald's is invested in the afternoon coffee market.
Definitely not. It's not a coffee market. That's the point of this article.
Oh, God.
It's a sugary drink fest.
Is this on the rundown? I didn't see this on the rundown.
The Starbucks thing?
No. Oh, yeah, the spicy drinks?
Yeah,
oh,
okay. Spicy
this has nothing
drinks.
To do with Cosmics.
Cosmic has nothing to do with coffee.
Do you really need a Cosmic intervention?
I'm telling you, this is a market that Starbucks is dominating. They're having to iterate because other people are trying to get in on it.
Okay.
Is that not the case?
I just don't want to fight anymore.
If you are going to Starbucks for your afternoon jet beverage filled with sugar, you can also get one now that has Starbucks spicy chili powder blend, which reminds me of when the beet powder on Felicity. Check out Dear Felicity. They spicy dragon fruit, spicy pineapple, spicy strawberry, spicy cream cold foam. So they took all these drinks they basically already make and they added spice to it.
Yes. And the cold foam is basically anytime you get foam, you can just ask for a spicy cold foam. So if you have a latte with foam on top, it's like, I'll take a spicy one. So this I found interesting. This really triggered something in me about myself. And I'm curious if other people feel the same way. I love spicy foods. I don't love spicy beverages like a spicy margarita or a spicy Bloody Mary. Like I love spicy foods. I can push the spice limit pretty far. But with beverages, I feel like the spice is less enjoyable.
I don't like spice ever, so
yeah.
Bad person to ask. I don't know. Call
you like the Spice Girls.
Call 646-STEW-138. I can't name any Ice Spice songs, but I do like the
yes,
Spice Girls.
Can.
No, I can't.
Yes, you can.
No, I can't.
Yes, you can.
I don't know. When you say yes, you can, and I can tell you no, I can't.
I'm trying to encourage you. I think somebody's going to be like, oh, yeah, Deli. You
know
what I mean?
I don't know the names of any of her songs.
Okay.
Should we do our taste test?
I'd love to.
It's Bravo inspired. It's Loverboy. It's an espresso martini from Loverboy.
In a can.
Loverboy is Kyle from Summer House's beverage. Our beverage brand.
Company, sure.
It's sort of at the heart of many seasons of Summer House, I hear. I don't know because I don't watch that show. I reject it on its premise.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, I've watched a few episodes. It's lovely.
But I went to watch What Happens Live last year when Rachel Lindsay was the guest. And the other guest was Amanda Batula, Kyle's wife. And I was seated next to Kyle. And he was living the Loverboy life at 3 o'clock in the afternoon on a Tuesday.
Good for him.
So we're tasting his espresso martini. Do you ever order espresso martini?
Oh, yeah. Here's my relationship with espresso martinis. I feel the same way about them as I do about Homestate Tacos.
Love.
Homestate is one of the best breakfast taco places I've ever been to. It's in Los Angeles. It's too wonderful. Beyond two, your body and your brain might think you want more than two espresso martinis or Homestate Tacos. But no matter how many times you've made the same mistake, you will make it again.
I don't have either of those problems. I'm going to taste this right now.
Okay.
This is awful. Oh, my God. Oh my God, this is horrible. It's 12% alcohol and it tastes it. It is so alcoholic. Oh my God. That's a really high alcohol content for a canned beverage.
Oh, I think I see what happened.
That's only 8 ounces.
I think I see what happened. Kyle, I see the problem here.
I feel drunk. This is awful.
No, it's not that. What does it say underneath? Read those words. Loverboy.
2 drinks per can.
No. Loverboy espresso martini wine cocktail.
Disgusting.
Wine is not a ingredient in an espresso martini.
Right. That's like, should be like gin.
It should be vodka.
Vodka.
Yeah. And I feel like an espresso martini is a difficult experience to capture and can. Does that make sense?
So I think that the wine piece of it, though, is just the fact that it's like a type of beverage classification.
Yeah.
But there's not like wine in it.
I don't think there's vodka in it.
No, it's water other than standard orange wine. Oh, there is wine in it.
Yeah.
Water other than standard orange wine. Natural flavors, maple syrup, coffee extract.
So next
sugar,
time you go to like creamer, the liquor store or a nice wine shop, just walk in and be like, where's the other than standard orange
so
section?
Gross. I can't believe it.
What kind of wine do you like? Other than standard orange is my favorite type of wine.
Also, there's only 4 grams of sugar per serving. Perhaps they should add more sugar.
Perhaps.
Also, 2 drinks per can is like aggressive.
And the cans are pretty small.
Like, they're small. They're 8 ounces. Excuse me.
Yeah.
Wow. What a miss. All right.
More. Yeah, that's a big miss. Sorry, Kyle. This is not good. I'm sure other Loverboy drinks might be good, but this is not.
Let's move on to personal food news.
Okay.
And one of my favorite things to do on my phone is read unhinged comments on Instagram. I tend to like to read them on the profiles of public figures.
Mm-hmm.
But I was dragged into reading the comments on La Colombe Coffee.
Really?
Because they changed the branding on their lattes in the can.
The visual branding?
Visual branding.
Okay.
But they also changed the recipe without notifying people.
Interesting.
And people are pissed. So I don't drink the lattes in the can, but I also, it hasn't been La Colombe can season for me. So I haven't had one in a while, but I'm going to try it and I'll report back.
When does that start?
When I'm having cold coffee at home, iced coffee at home, that's when I have the cans. But I haven't gotten there yet. Outside of the house, obviously, iced coffee season.
Okay, sorry.
But here's the question, the prompt: new draft latte can design inspired by our long cafe heritage. Which one are you going with? And then it's 3 cans.
All right, I'll look at the cans. Okay.
Here's some of the responses. None. You ruined it. None. These are disgusting. I think you all know we literally hate the new formula, so the fact that you're asking this is, all caps, bold. I'm just here to add to the growing number of people you blindsided with this change. Absolutely horrible decision, and I hope it is addressed. # you screwed your customers.
Wow. People on the internet hate change. They hate
especially
it.
Especially when they love their... If you change someone's coffee routine, that's a big deal.
But they didn't. It's just a new formula.
Change recipe, yeah.
But I'm sure they did so with good intentions.
I don't know. It's notable to me that it happened after they got bought by Chobani, so I don't know.
Mm.
Here's just a couple more. None, because the new recipe is awful. None, because we need the old formula back. These are undrinkable.
You know what? I saw that post. This one says none, because you haven't sponsored Food News yet. I saw that somewhere. I don't know
it's
who that
horrible
was.
Now. Please bring back the old recipe. I mean, at Chobani, going to lose $900 million after changing the perfectly good formula for the draft latte.
Anything positive?
No.
None. Nothing positive.
None. Isn't it funny?
I like that everyone's adopted the same format of none, none. And then making a statement. I like when the internet just collectively picks up on the same cadence.
Anyway, I'll be watching this story unfold.
Can you follow up next week?
Well, there will be updates, and I will let you know if my version of La Coloma has changed.
I'm going to do some more research on Ninkasi, the goddess of beer from Mesopotamia, and I'll give you a little report.
Okay, great.
Remind me to do that, okay, producer Mike? My personal food news is... there's a new sushi restaurant in my neighborhood.
Ooh.
I've been going there by myself for quite some time. And yesterday, my wife was available for a quick little sneaky date. And I took her there. And I have a question for you about this. This is a brand new business, right? And when you walk in, there's like a Tron tunnel, which is exactly what you think it is. It's like a tunnel of lights with a screen at the end that plays various images of mainly of like fish tank stuff, but just really vibey. It's kind of like a four Instagram entranceway.
Okay.
And then when you get inside, it is such a beautiful build out. There's fake fires. There's straw sculptures of fish hung from the ceiling. There's a real sort of like...
What's the name of this place?
Goda, G-O-D-A.
Okay.
And the lighting is really interesting. They have skylights that they really use like the light really well. The decor is just top notch. And there's also two omakase sushi chefs by the bar. And there's like a star in the back, like up elevated on a stage. And he's got a special little sushi bar. And he's lit in a way where he's like clear. It's like a Hantaro Hase, what's it called?
30
Whatever, from
seconds.
Kill Bill. And he's like the guy. And I'm in there and I'm like, I like this restaurant. I really like their food. I'm concerned they spent too much money on the build out.
Mm. Nothing you described sounded that expensive except for the entranceway.
The walls aren't walls. The walls are like stonework.
I feel like, I don't know. I think the entrance just sounds like unpleasant, but then it sounds nice.
And then, so me and my wife were discussing it. She's like, have you ever seen anyone in here? I was like, no. And I was like, well, most of the money from these places comes from like deliveries now and pickups.
Is that true?
Yes, like sushi in particular is very much a like...
I don't like delivery sushi.
Oh, disagree. I think it holds really well.
I just never know. Like, you never know what you're going to get. I need to like see them putting it together.
Oh, no. Well, I usually get mine from Sugarfish, which is good. Mm-hmm. It holds up really well because it's not hot.
That's specific Sugarfish delivery, yeah. Which one do they deliver from?
57th Street.
Oh, wow. It's a big range.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. So that was my story. I was worried about the build out of this restaurant, but it's very beautiful. And I've recently been realizing the environment that I'm in changes my experience very, very much.
Of course. Yeah, of course. I'm all about ambiance.
Very, very much.
All right. Let's get to our listener food news.
This is Lizzie, Washington, D.C.
Hey, Lizzie.
I'm calling to ask, like, what fictional place would you want to eat at? I'm going to go with Krusty Krab Pizza, not burgers, specifically pizza from the one SpongeBob episode. But look, there's Central Perk, there's Peach Pit, there's Karen's Cafe, there's the Max. How many of those has Jacoby watched?
Very few.
Unsure. I'm curious to hear.
I watched Superstars with them.
Okay, thanks. Okay. Thanks for all you do. Bye.
Oh.
Wow.
Thanks, Lizzie.
This is a great question.
I think the first thing that I thought of before she even said it was the Max from Saved by the Bell. Always just seems so cool.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
You know, in the weirdest way, I think you guys might be too young for this. The first thing I thought about, and shout to all of our over 40 listeners, was the You Can't Do That on Television diner. Do you remember the guy? Did I do that or whatever he says?
I know
no, that's
you're
Urkel.
About,
that's Urkel.
That's Urkel, yes. Yeah, I know
he's
you're
got
talking about that show, though.
But it's supposed to be really gross food. And then, I mean, honestly, the first thing that came to mind, which is so, like, cliched or whatever, was the bear. Like, I want the beef sandwich from the bear.
I don't like the bear.
I think that's a terrible take. We can edit this out if you want. It's just a terrible, terrible
take. I'm okay with it. It's just, I don't know. I like, understand it's, like, objectively well made.
Excellent, excellent show.
I just don't like any of the characters.
Well, it's written by a friend of mine. One of my friends is on it, so I'm going to stand for it.
Okay.
Yeah, The Bear's a great show. You should watch it. Everyone should watch it more than once.
I have.
So what's my answer? What's your answer?
The Max.
Oh, I got mine.
What?
Oh, this is so easy. Duh. One of my favorite, most influential films of my life, Cocktail.
Oh,
I want to go
bar?
To that the bar on the beach. No, not the one in New York. I want to go to the one on the beach. Where McLaughlin worked at, or whatever his name was.
Well, maybe, I feel like we can probably find that. Must be somewhere.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's exactly. This is a. Thank you so much, Lizzie, for this question. I want to find that bar and go there and have a fruity cocktail and take a dip in the ocean.
Sounds nice.
Yeah.
Thanks for calling, Lizzie. Don't forget to give us a call, everybody. 646-STEW-138. Thanks to Mike Wargon, as always. We'll be back next week
with an Nicasi update.